is Phil Nee, and I hope all your trails are happy until we talk again later on WRCO-FM in Richland Center, Wisconsin. News This Hour is sponsored by Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, serving Southwest Wisconsin since 1889, and the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games. Good morning, it's 34 foggy degrees, and the time is 9 o'clock.
This is AP News. I'm Rita Foley. We've all been spending money pretty freely despite some of those higher prices we're seeing. That's the message this morning as we learn that the economy grew an unexpectedly strong 3.3% from October through December. Gus Fauché is the chief economist with PNC Financial Services Group.
Consumer spending growth was strong, business investment was solid, even the housing market, which has been a drag on growth, was roughly neutral for growth. So very good report, and it indicates the economy is strong heading into 2024.
Former President Trump is focusing on a New York courtroom this morning and a lawsuit seeking millions for things he said about advice columnist E. Jean Carroll after she accused him of sexual assault. The AP's Julie Walker is in New York.
The defamation trial against the former president will determine how much in additional damages he will have to pay writer E. Jean Carroll. She was awarded $5 million in the first trial by a different jury that found Trump liable for sexually abusing her in a department store fitting room in the 1990s and then defaming her when she came forward. Trump denying any wrongdoing, calling her a liar.
In Gaza, the health ministry says Israeli fire hit a crowd of people waiting for humanitarian aid, killing at least 20 of them. The Israeli military says it's looking into these reports. Six nuns kidnapped in Haiti last week have been freed. An archbishop says all of them are in good condition. He's not saying whether a ransom was paid to get them back, nor is there any word of who's responsible. If you've got an iPhone or an iPad, Apple wants you to turn on a feature called Stolen Device Protection. It makes it a lot harder for anybody who steals your devices to get your passwords and empty your bank account, for example. Again, it's called Stolen Device Protection. This is AP News. To Nevada now.
Tribes in Nevada want a massacre site made into a national monument. White attackers massacred hundreds of native people in a desert area in eastern Nevada in the 1800s. Delane Spilsbury is part of the effort to get the National Park Service to declare the land Basa Wabi National Monument.
The people that were killed here were left here. There were no ceremonies, there were no burials, there were nothing. Their spirits and their bodies are in those trees.
Basa Wabi means sacred water valley.
They came to Basa Wabi because this was such a rich area with a surplus of water and the surplus of plants and animals here. It was like finding a gold mine.
Spilsbury's grandmother survived the massacre. A bill could be introduced soon in Congress to designate the monument. I'm Ed Donahue.
And I'm Rita Foley, AP News.
The best place to catch a Friday night fish dinner is the Phoenix Center. Dine in or carry out delicious deep fried or baked fish. The Phoenix Center serves food and fun every day. The pizza is out of this world. And after a great meal, make it an even better night with a game of bowling. The Phoenix Center is family fun at its best. Open at 10 Monday through Sunday. The Phoenix Center, the area's go-to spot for good times and great food.
The Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service has been serving the Southwest Wisconsin area since 1889. We pride ourselves on doing things the right way, paying attention to even the smallest details, and assisting your family every step of the way in your time of need. I'm Mark Jelenic. I am proud the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service still represents the values that have helped us be trusted and depended on for many generations. Learn more at PrattFuneralService.com.
Today's forecast calls for a high of 38, cloudy and foggy, scattered drizzle becoming a little steadier as light rain this afternoon. East winds at 2 to 6 miles per hour. Rain tonight with areas of fog and a low of 34. Friday, cloudy and foggy again, light rain tapering to drizzle in the afternoon, a high of 39. Friday night, clouds and fog and a low of 32. And Saturday, 40 degrees. A dense fog advisory in effect for our area until noon today.
Kickapoo schools under a two-hour delay today. Robin's Nest Country Gifts and Flowers will be closed this morning, as we remind you of those notes from our weather-related department today. Drive carefully. Foggy and still some reports of some slippery areas and some black ice this morning. It's currently 34 degrees.
Attention fishing enthusiasts and families. Mark your calendars for the Highland Lions Club annual Dean Olson Memorial Fishery. Join them on Saturday, January 27th at Black Hawk Lake Recreation Area, 2025 County Road BH, Highland. Gates open at 5 a.m. The day is packed with excitement, adult fishing contest, kids learn to ice fish, bake sale, euchre tournament, meat paddles, live auction, and more. Plus, indulge your taste buds with concessions and warm up by the heated pavilion. The fun starts at 9 a.m. and the action continues all day. Raffle tickets are available from members and local businesses. For updates, check out the Highland Lions Facebook page. Highland Lions Club, where community, fun, and fishing come together. All events subject to change, so stay tuned for an unforgettable day of ice fishing and family fun.
Looking for an exciting career opportunity with a world leader in coated glass for residential windows and doors? Look no further than Cardinal CG. They're hiring for all shifts, including production positions, with the potential to earn up to $29 an hour. Enjoy up to 6 weeks of time off per year and start earning vacation hours on your very first day. Apply in person Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. Interviews and tours are available at 1024 East Madison Street in Spring Green. Join the Cardinal CG team today and be a part of the future of residential glass innovation.
The big snowball dance is almost here. Make it a night to remember with the help of your friendly hometown florist at Added Touch Floral and Gifts on Main Street, 647-2319. Added Touch Floral and Gifts is the place for a custom-designed wrist corsage or boutonniere. Get your order in today. Want to get rid of the winter blahs for your loved one? Brighten up your special someone's day with a beautiful floral arrangement from Added Touch Floral and Gifts, 647-2319.
On the morning show today from WRCO, Community Conversation, we are pleased to have Pine Valley Community Village's new administrator, Shaponda Jimerson, in the studio with us today as we introduce her officially to the community. Well, good morning, Shaponda.
Good morning. Hi, Richland Center.
Great to have you in here. Yeah, we met you just a little while ago. You were kind of on tour in the business community with Director Tom Rislow.
Yes.
Did you enjoy that time?
Absolutely. Tom is an amazing man, and I'm so happy that I got to spend some time with him before he retired.
How long was he the administrator at Pine Valley?
5 years, but Tom has about 43 years of experience as an administrator, so it was good to learn from him.
I was going to say, did you pick his brain a little bit to kind of learn a few things?
Well, actually, yes. Tom had about an 8-page orientation that he prepared for me, and we went over every single thing.
Oh, wow.
He even took me to the water well.
Showed you everything then.
Yes.
Well, tell me a little bit about yourself and your background. Where are you from originally?
So I was born in Los Angeles, California, and then I ended up moving to Gary, Indiana. And then when I went away to college in Marshall, Texas, earned my degree in biology. Then I came back to the Midwest, went to Benedictine University and earned a master's degree. And a few weeks ago, I just earned my doctoral degree in health sciences from A.T. Still University.
Wow, that's impressive. Congratulations on
yes.
that, too.
Thank
so I should
you.
Have referred to you as doctor, then, in other words.
No, just call me Ann.
Well, I like that. Now, you spent some time all over,
yes.
so you've kind of learned a little bit everywhere you've gone.
Yes, I trained in Nashville.
Mm-hmm. When you went to Nashville, you told me before we went on the air that you learned guitar. Is that kind of one of the prerequisites when you go there?
Well, Nashville is a music hub, so sort of.
So you play a little guitar.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And do you plan to put on some performances at Pine Valley Community Village?
Yeah, I actually would like to have my friends from Nashville come up and play. It's in the works.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, how exciting. So, yeah, and I know Tom, before you, he used to play piano for the residents.
Yeah, I heard Tom play a little bit. He's awesome.
You didn't start a band with him before he left, though.
No, I wish.
That would have been awesome.
I did make him eat pizza with me.
Oh, did you? Okay. Yeah. So when you came here and you toured, what were your first impressions of Pine Valley Community Village?
I actually thought it was pretty awesome. I think the staff are really caring, loving, and compassionate. I think it's a organization and a facility where we have the same values. I believe in doing the best by people and just giving them 100% in healthcare. And I just saw that when I walked in the door, so I was really grateful for that.
Had you worked at some other facilities similar to Pine Valley?
I have worked in nursing homes before, and I also trained at a really lovely facility in Nashville, too. So just being able to, you know, see the care and feel the care. I've been in healthcare since I was 16. I fell in love with healthcare, and to just work with people who have that same passion at Pine Valley is really rewarding.
So you've worked with different ages. This is your chance to work mainly with elderly. I know that you've got some opportunities there, but is that something that attracted you to maybe get into this facility and things like that?
Well, what actually motivated me to want to be an administrator is I had an aunt that was an RN and a nursing home administrator. So I saw how she would take care of the elderly, and she would take care of the homeless and children, and it was just really rewarding to me. Like I said, I've been in healthcare since I was 16. I fell in love with it, and I'm just a lover of people in general.
Probably the hardest and most difficult thing is when you get so attached, right? And then sometimes it's probably hard to say goodbye.
It is. Yeah, I fell in love with my residents in Nashville. I miss them. I think about them all the time. But I think I've learned from them also, and it's helped me become a better administrator. So I think, you know, you take those memories and you're supposed to carry it along with you on your journey.
Having been working at all levels, that probably helps you as an administrator to kind of have knowledge about all of the different avenues, right?
Yeah. So I've actually worked at a facility with people with developmental disabilities before. I've worked at a facility with individuals with substance abuse. I've worked with the homeless and children. So I think I have a pretty good knowledge base.
I think you have. I think for all, you need compassion, don't you?
You do. Yeah. Yes. I think you can't be an administrator if you're not compassionate. I think you have to come in every day with a desire to service the people there, including the staff. And I think you have to go home and you have to reflect, think about what you can do differently, and just be prepared to continue the great work the very next day and every day thereafter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do you find that every day, go to work and be up and positive? Is that a difficult thing to do?
You know, I'm always usually a happy person. I really just lean on my faith a lot. And I just believe that you should give out to the world what you want back. And I take that with me everywhere I go and in everything that I do. I just try to be the best that I can be and love people and always ask myself, is this the right thing that I'm doing? And I think that self-reflection is critical. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what keeps me going.
Yeah, well said. You have a very fine staff at Pine Valley, don't you?
I do. I think they're awesome. I am very, very happy to have a DON with such a passion for working with the residents and the rest of the nurses and the nursing leadership team. I have two awesome social workers who come in every day and give the absolute best that they can. The dietary department is awesome because I like the desserts. And I probably shouldn't say this. I love all of you equally, but I've always been very fond of the activities department, probably because I'm a party animal.
So you're showing a little favoritism there, but
a little bit. But, you know, I love all of them equally, and I'll do whatever I can to make the facility successful. So,
right.
But hey, I'm a natural born party animal. So.
Right. Yeah. Well, what are some of the activities that Pine Valley they're currently doing then?
So I know that the residents love bingo, and I got to witness a bingo store where they get to take their chips and purchase items with those chips. Now, it's not just regular things. There's snacks, there's clothing, there's coloring books, hygiene products. I've even saw knitting and arts and craft materials. It's just, to me, like probably the best bingo store that I've seen. Of course, they have some music. We had caroling for Christmas time. And I'm actually going to come on Saturday and do a craft project with them. So
What's the project then?
So we're going to make cards, and we're going to actually, you know, those like heart candies. We're going to kind of like make flowers on a card and glue them and put nice messages in there and pass them out for Valentine's Day.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, that's, I don't think probably real, that happens a lot where the administrator actually comes in and does a work like that. So that's cool.
Well, I think the administrator has to be present at all times of the day. The other day I came in late so I can work later into the shift, because I do want to get to know the night staff and the PM staff.
I think that's important.
It is, yeah. I want them to know that I'm equally there for them also. So I don't see my role as an administrator as a 9-to-5. I think you have to be available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Those of us that have visited residents, friends, and neighbors and things like that, we kind of know that the people in the trenches, you know, the nurses and the people that are their caregivers, that, you know, they really are the stars of the show, aren't they?
They are. I see them give every single day. They don't really take no for an answer. They demand quality care, and that is something that I think, you know, when you have it in a building, you just have to honor it and just be grateful, because it couldn't be there, but it is at Pine Valley. And I think that's what sets us apart from the other facilities, is that we truly do value quality care.
And they're in the rooms all the time, so they kind of, they know that resident, you know, day in and day out, and you know, if they notice something, maybe a change, you know, that's you know, what they're there to do, right?
Yeah, the residents feel really comfortable talking to our nurses, and I just think, you know, when I see the nurses and they're taking care of the residents, they really enjoy working with them. I mean, and I'm quite fond of walking around the hallways, doing my rounds, and I make sure I speak to residents and just try to get to know them. I try to make sure that when the residents are admitted that I do go down and introduce myself and let them know that I'm there for them. And, you know, I want them to get to know me also.
So, yeah, that's important.
Yeah.
I don't know where you were in your career when COVID hit, but that certainly, that put everybody kind of on their heels. But yes. But I think you were able to learn from that a little bit too, weren't you?
Yeah, well, I did. I was fortunate that I didn't get COVID, but I'm really particular. So yes, I was working at a facility, and you know, I saw people get sick and pass away, and COVID was just really a different experience. That I hope it doesn't get that bad again, to be honest. But it's even worse when you're working with residents with developmental disabilities. Because they don't understand sometimes that they may have to keep away from a friend, or they don't understand sometimes that why their mother can't come in the building, or, you know, just that loss of contact with their family and friends is really difficult for them. So just, you know, engaging them and keeping them engaged and just encouraging them to wash their hands and to wear their masks. That was our biggest challenge. But I think we pulled through, and I did the best that I could.
Yeah, that's all you can do. But I think everybody that worked at the facilities, they were even more important at that time, because family members couldn't come in, or they could only speak through a phone, through a window. And so there was a lot of loneliness. And I think that's where the staff really had to step up, didn't they?
Well, I really used a lot of technology with Zoom and, you know, having the families call on Zoom and talk to their loved ones, FaceTime, anything that I could do to keep them connected. I had family members that would come to the window and we would open the window and let them talk. And there was a lady, she would sit on the line and play the guitar for our residents, and you would see them all in the window. So I think as an administrator, our biggest challenges, and probably all the administrators, was making sure that we address the loneliness, even in a time of COVID, because that could be challenging for seniors.
And you can still FaceTime if you have some residents that have relatives that are way outside the area, too.
Yes, yes, you can.
So that works out really well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Music is such a big part, and I know you love music, too, but music and memory, and, you know, it's amazing what music does for residents.
Yeah, I had a resident, he was autistic, and they said he couldn't talk, but when he sat at that piano and he would play the piano and sing, it just, everyone was just so in awe. And you'd be surprised just how excited he was and happy he was. You know, in that moment, you know, everyone forgot that he was autistic. And, you know, I think that kind of showed everybody, you know, let's see the person and not the disability, which was really amazing.
So he couldn't talk, but he could sing and play the piano.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I know for older residents or people with memory issues, music is kind of like one of the last things that that they forget.
Yes.
So it's a good way to keep them, you know, going and smiling and everything
yeah,
else.
Yeah. I had a resident once who had dementia, and she would play the piano. She never lost that ability.
Yeah.
And it was just, it made her happy. So she would play at all times of the day. And you know, if it doesn't disturb anyone else at night and it makes her happy, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, it was second nature for her.
Yeah.
You know, to remember that. The rest of us can't play, but she could remember how to play. And
yes.
Yeah, that's an amazing story, too. Pine Valley Community Village and the mission statement. Do you know much about that, or can you comment on that?
I think the mission statement just really embodies what we do every day, which is just giving quality care, choices to our residents, serving with love, compassion, and just coming to work and remembering that we're there to serve.
Okay. Well said. What about being a 5-star facility?
Well, I don't mean to brag, but we are a 5-star facility.
And that goes quite a long ways, right?
It does.
That's
yes.
Not common, is it? Everywhere?
I won't say that it's not common, because I believe that if you do the work, you can be a 5-star facility. But mistakes happen. There's a lot of change sometimes in leadership, and I think that the administrator, it has to realize that you can play a really big role in driving that 5-star. But for me, what a 5-star represents is that we provide quality care. And I'm not going to say that a 3-star doesn't, but I think that just shows that you're striving to deliver that quality care. Like you're finding the errors, you're finding the mistakes, and you're fixing them, and you're implementing a quality improvement process, which is, to me, one of the key components of earning that 5-star.
What about employment? I'm guessing you, like any other facility, you could always use more helpers, couldn't you?
Yeah, I think all the nursing homes across the country are struggling with staffing. You know, I'd read a research study and it said that by 2025, there was going to be a shortage of CNAs, nurses, and primary care. But I think COVID just brought that along sooner. So I think it's imperative for companies to realize that they have to be competitive in areas such as staff morale, wages, the environment of the company. You know, is this a company where people feel like they can grow? Is this a company where people feel like they want to stay here and invest their time? And looking at the wages, you know, are we paying people fairly? Does our benefits align with where our staff feel like they need to be? And that's how you're going to improve staffing. You know, COVID was really bad, but I like to look at things and try to find the good. And I think what COVID taught me was that you have to value things in life. And I think for everybody, I think COVID really showed that, hey, you know, I have value. And I just, you know, if I want to learn and grow, I should be able to do that. I think COVID really just showed us that, you know, time is precious and we need to take every opportunity to improve ourselves and others.
There are programs now where young men and women can get a degree while they're even still in high school. They can come and work and kind of get some credits too, right?
Yeah. So we actually have some schools that are coming to work in our facility and train and learn. And, you know, I think that being a CNA is a noble profession. You can learn a lot being a CNA, and it prepares you for other opportunities.
That's how you started, correct?
Yeah, I was a CNA. So when I was in high school, I attended the Gary Area Career Center, and I actually was in cosmetology first.
Is that right?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And then I said, oh, well, what program is that? And it was the health program, and that's where I think I fell in love with healthcare. And by the time I graduated, I was already a dental assistant and a CNA. So I've always been in healthcare and I loved it. I think you have to find your passion and find out what draws you to healthcare.
You've truly done it all, though. You know,
I wouldn't say it all. I haven't climbed up Mount Everest, and I probably never will. But I'm just the type of person, I just really believe in growth and strength, and I just feel like, you know, every year I strive to be different. I want to learn something new every year, you know, whether it's improving my leadership skills, whether it's improving my health, my education. I just think every year you should be different than what you were the previous year.
Regardless of your age, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, that goes even for your older residents and for everybody. I mean,
well, you know, when I'm 65, I hope that I am still having a good time. I hope that I'm still learning. I'm growing. I just think, in regardless to age, whether you're 65 or 95, you should always try to live your best life and just grow and learn and love.
When we talk about brain health, too, that keeps us sharp, doesn't it?
It does, yes.
We're trying to keep always learning and striving forward then.
Well, so. I read an article about happiness, and it said that keeps your brain sharp, too, not stressing. It helps with your heart health, moving, exercising, eating healthy, spending time with friends and families, doing something that you enjoy. Just because you're 65 doesn't mean you can't live your life. And when you look at nursing homes, there's more people coming that want to drive their car. There's more people coming to facilities that actually want to be in a community. So the long-term care industry is changing. And I think that administrators coming after me and myself, we're going to have to be, you know, willing to accommodate those changes that are coming.
Sometimes for residents, just getting them there, you know, they maybe fight the idea of that. But I think once they get there and get into the community spirit, I think they probably wonder why they didn't come sooner, right?
Well, moving into a long-term care facility can be hard for anyone. It's, for some residents, it represents somewhat a loss of freedom. Like, well, I'm at a place in my life where I need help. I need care. And I mean, no one wants to move into a nursing home, but my job as an administrator is to deliver the services and to try to make this resident as happy as I can, to keep them as independent as long as I can, and to, you know, encourage them to still be engaged in the things that they love. You know, just because you live in a nursing home doesn't mean you can't go out to lunch with your friends, doesn't mean you can't go home with your family. Your family can visit any time of the day. But I think they settle in, they do adjust. And I tend to promote freedom, although you live in a nursing home. It's not, it is an institution, but I want it to be home.
Mm-hmm. You have a lot of residents just passing through, though, if you're recovering, rehabbing from surgeries and things like that, too.
Yes. And then they go home. And I think that's the goal, to get them well enough to where they can go back to their own home.
Mm-hmm. So you see a lot of that, too. So,
I do, yes.
Yeah, you bet. As far as this year, I know there are always some fun activities and things like that. Anything that you're looking forward to at Pine Valley Community?
So Tom told me about the chicken.
The
chicken, and we sell tickets, and they come, and we make the plates, and we give chicken. Then there's a fair that I am interested in. I have to staff the booth, so I'm excited about that. I've never actually been to a fair before.
So you're hitting the ground running a little bit, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. So I'm excited. And then we clean up the street by our facility because we adopted that street.
Okay.
So to just go out there to do that, I'm excited about that also, actually.
Sure. So you'll be learning the ropes here. You know,
I am,
learning on the fly. We'll come back and have a little bit more with Administrator of Pine Valley Community Village, Shapana Jimerson, joining us on today's morning show.
Few things are more important than family. You can count on your family to be there for you, just like you can count on the Richland Family Prescription Center to be there for you. Anyone can give you a bottle of pills. The Richland Family Prescription Center gives you a whole lot more. Your health and your understanding of medications is a priority for the Prescription Center. The staff makes sure you and your family are getting the right medications. They're happy to help you and answer questions about prescription drugs, including possible side effects or interactions among various drugs. They also work with you and your doctor to find less expensive medications. Choosing a pharmacy is a very important decision. When you call or stop in, you always get a person who understands and cares. The Prescription Center would be honored to be your pharmacy. Ogden Nash said, "A family is a unit composed not only of children, but of men, women, an occasional animal, and the common cold." Trust your family to the Richland Family Prescription Center, where you and your family always come first.
The Richland County Historical Society has prepared a 2024 calendar with vintage pictures of one-room schools. Schools of Richland County by Steve Fogel appeared in the Republican Observer during the years 1952-1953. These are pictures of rural schools when he printed the histories of each in the paper, and those histories are available in the Richland County History Room of the Brewer Library. There are 46 total schools and 4 schools per month, with additional graded schools in the Richland County area included in this collector calendar. Printed by Hennig Printing with a laminated cover and bound with those collector calendars, they're available from any board of directors of the Richland County Historical Society for just $6 as a donation from the general public. Historical Society members, you can obtain the 2024 calendar for just $4 as a donation. Get yours as soon as possible. Schools of Richland County, a 2024 calendar from the Richland County Historical Society. Look us up on the web, Richland County Historical Society.weebly.com.
Attention fishing enthusiasts and families. Mark your calendars for the Highland Lions Club annual Dean Olson Memorial Fishery. Join them on Saturday, January 27th at Black Hawk Lake Recreation Area, 2025 County Road BH, Highland. Gates open at 5 a.m. The day is packed with excitement, adult fishing contest, kids learn to ice fish, bake sale, euchre tournament, meat paddles, live auction, and more. Plus, indulge your taste buds with concessions and warm up by the heated pavilion. The fun starts at 9 a.m. and the action continues all day. Raffle tickets are available from members and local businesses. For updates, check out the Highland Lions Facebook page, Highland Lions Club, where community, fun, and fishing come together. All events subject to change, so stay tuned for an unforgettable day of ice fishing and family fun. The Big Snowball Dance is almost here. Make it a night to remember with the help of your friendly hometown florist at Added Touch Floral and Gifts on Main Street, 647-2319. Added Touch Floral and Gifts is the place for a custom-designed wrist corsage or boutonniere. Get your order in today. Want to get rid of the winter blahs for your loved one? Brighten up your special someone's day with a beautiful floral arrangement from Added Touch Floral and Gifts, 647-2319.
Agra America features the largest collection of agricultural podcasts, including popular titles such as...
Hi, this is Rob Sharkey, a fifth-generation farmer from Illinois. If you want to hear stories about agriculture, make sure you tune in to Shark Farmer Podcast today. on AgriAmerica.
Hi, I'm Darren Hefty. Head over to AgriAmerica's podcast directory for the latest episode of the Ag PhD radio show.
Visit AgriAmerica's podcast directory at agriamerica.com/podcasts. agriamerica.com/podcasts.
BASF financing is so low, we can't even say the low rate without dropping a few octaves. 1.99%. See what we mean? 1.99%. To grow more, protect more, and command more. 1.99%. For all participating BASF brands. 1.99%. When you enroll before March 15th at BASF-grower-financing.com. Get one low rate to do the biggest job on earth. Go to BASF-grower-financing.com. Subject to credit approval. See program details for terms and conditions.
Welcome back to our morning show time today on WRCO Radio. Shapanda Jimerson, the administrator at Pine Valley Community Village, is our guest. And I guess we're friends now, so we can call you Ann.
Okay.
Because that's what residents call you, right?
Yes.
At Pine Valley Community Village. But good to have you along and to introduce you to the community today. When I ask you about quality care, what comes to mind?
Making sure my residents are safe, they're happy, they have their doctor's appointments, they're taking their medication, they're eating healthy, and I'm just helping them live a quality life, an independent life.
Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the mission statement, not only for your facility, but it's for you as well.
I just want to do the best for the residents. That's why I became an administrator, to deliver quality care.
So what do you do for fun?
I like to sew, I like to cook, I like to travel. I like to party. binge watch Lifetime movies.
Okay,
yeah.
Sure.
I'm rarely home on the weekends.
So you keep it going. Now, you live in the area?
I live in Middleton.
Okay, so you commute out here?
Yes, it's not a bad commute.
No, not too bad at all. So, and I'm guessing you're trying to relay that fun to the residents, right?
Oh, I'm a fun person. I think they knew it when they met me.
Keeping them smiling if you can, right?
I try. I do my absolute best.
Yeah, because I think we all can do a little bit better with that, you know?
Yes.
What about, you mentioned faith. That's important to you.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is.
What can you tell us about your faith?
So I practice Buddhism. It has actually helped me become a better person. I used to really struggle with my confidence and just loving myself. And I have a friend that lives in Michigan, and she practices. So I would go to her house, and I used to hear them chant, and I never understood what was going on. But then finally, she introduced me to Buddhism, and it's just really changed my life. So I'm a happier person. I'm a friendlier person. I'm a calmer person. I just see the value in people, and I just credit it for making me the person that I am today.
Yeah. Interesting. We're all on a journey, aren't we?
We are.
Yeah.
I think life is a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've had a really challenging life. And like when I found Buddhism, I think things have improved.
You talk about a challenging life, though. You wouldn't be the person today had you not gone through some of those things, right?
Yeah. So when I was 8, I lost my mother. She passed away in a train accident. Then we moved to Gary, Indiana, and we kind of lived around the corner from Michael Jackson's childhood home. You can imagine the fanfare there.
I'll bet.
And, you know, I didn't really see a lot of people going to college and just really making an impact in a community. And so I knew I wanted to be different. And here I am.
And here you are.
Yeah.
After a few years, certainly. Michael Jackson's home, as soon as you said Gary, Indiana, I thought of that. But that's the birthplace of the Jackson family and things like that. So was there quite a lot of hubbub around, you know, tourists coming through and looking at the facility and everything?
Yeah. If you can go on Facebook and people visit, you'll see this big monument, and they have a picture of him doing the moonwalk on the monument. And actually, one time I went there to just visit because I had a friend with me from Tennessee, and we were standing outside of the gate, and I said, "Oh, that's Janet Jackson." And he's like, "No, Ann, it's not Janet Jackson." And I said, "Yes, it is." And I was like, "Hi, Janet." And she waved, and they went back in.
Really? So yeah. the Jackson family was visiting there at that time?
Yes.
Okay. Is it a regular museum where people can tour it then?
Usually the gate is locked. I think you have to go online and schedule a visit. I've never actually been inside. I would like to, but I think people are just happy with taking a picture in front of there.
Okay, sure. And that it's preserved and
yes.
It's a historical place for the city then.
Yeah, they did some renovations on it and then they built the monument.
Have you had some other famous encounters with famous people?
Yeah, so I went to Wiley College and Denzel Washington filmed a movie about our school called The Great Debaters. And he actually filmed it in Texas. And a lot of the people in the movie, I can name them, you know. I'm like, oh, that's the mailman. That's the old president of the university. People hate watching movies with me. And I was sitting on the bench with a friend, and I said, "Oh, that's Denzel Washington." And she said, "Oh, no, Ann, that's not Denzel." And I said, "Yeah, that's him." And she said, "No." So I said, "Okay, well, I'll speak to him." And I said, "Hi, Denzel." And he said, "Oh, hi, darling." And she fainted.
So it really was him.
Yeah. And I said, "I don't know why you fainted. He spoke to me."
Oh, that's awesome. So you were attending a university there. You didn't make it in the movie, though.
I didn't want to be in the movie. For some odd reason, I was ready to just go home for the summer. I mean, I don't have any regrets.
So they took some extras from the university for the movie?
Oh, well, a lot of the students and staff was in the movie.
Uh-huh.
That's what I liked about it.
Oh, okay. I see.
And I got to watch it for the first time at the movie theater.
Wow. So, again, you've kind of lived all over the country. So what are your impressions of living in Wisconsin?
So I like the scenic views. I like to take pictures of trees and sunsets and things. And so I've taken some pretty cool shots.
Okay, yeah.
And I think from my apartment balcony, I have a really beautiful view of the sunset.
So you get lots of photos.
Yeah.
That's a fine art, that's for sure. In the time that you've been in healthcare, there have been a lot of changes, and changes for the better, haven't there?
Yeah, so I think when they expanded Medicaid, that was a really good thing. Now, I wish that we would go to a universal health system, but that's... Hopefully it's coming soon, because I think when we're all healthier, we're better.
Yeah, that's certainly, hopefully on down the line, somewhere along the line. But but you've seen a lot of, you know, like in policies and things like that, you've seen a lot of changes there, too, in terms of how you provide services and health care for the elderly.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing that they're increasing the Medicaid rates for the nursing homes. One policy I'm not against it, but I can't say that I'm for it, is the new staffing mandates. Just because I think that right now with the shortage of CNAs and nursing staff, that it's not a good time to implement a policy like that without addressing the shortage first.
Can you talk about that? I guess I'm not aware of that.
So the government wants to increase the nursing hours and the staff that are going to be on site at the nursing home. And they're giving the rural nursing homes, which would include Pine Valley, 3 years to do so. And I guess the nursing homes more in the city, 2 years to implement. However, there's been some senators and lobbyists who are saying, no, this is not the time because of the staffing shortage. And nursing home administrators, we already feel like we're competing with the staffing agencies, because what our struggle is hiring our own staff versus paying the $68, $88, or $98, or, and it can be higher or lower, wage to the staffing agencies to get nurses. So I feel like you can't implement a mandate like that, and you don't address the issues of the shortage. So I kind of feel like you're competing against the staffing agencies and the government.
Explain how a staffing agency works.
So, for example, a staffing agency will come and say, well, we can help you get nurses. This is what they have to be paid by the hour. So it can be $68, $75. It just depends on the wage. Sometimes if you have a nurse who's coming, and then let's say one of your own staff pick it up, you may still have to pay a fee. So those wages are higher because they're contract staff. So now you have a lot of nursing staff and other skilled staff who would just prefer to go to a staffing agency because the wage is higher, there's more flexibility with the schedule, and it makes it hard for nursing homes, hospitals, and other facilities to be able to staff their own staff, which increases the cost of their salaries for their staff and the wages that they pay and if they spend on staffing.
When you're talking about that pay, too, does the staffing agency get some of that money?
They do. And okay. I've heard nurses tell me that they take a large portion of it. So you may think you might pay the nurse $75, but really she may be getting like $65 of it.
I see. So do those nurses, do they travel?
Yes, travel.
From week to week?
Yeah, you can. I know nurses that are signed up with more than one staffing agency.
Mm-hmm. So you'll see them, they're like maybe from multiple states away, but they come and work a week here, work a week there. Is that how it works?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Because they like the flexibility.
Mm-hmm. So you're not, are you forced to go through those kind of agencies or?
Well, you're not forced really to do anything, but do you really have a choice when you can't find staff?
I see. Yeah. So that's one of the things you deal with. You like to hire locally if you can, though.
Yes.
Right.
I would like to hire locally. But again, with the shortage, everybody's looking for staff.
Let's talk about some other things you're involved in. Other organizations outside of work?
Yeah. So I'm a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated, the best sorority. I also volunteer in Illinois with the organization called Kabod House, and they service the homeless women and children in low-income communities. So I'm actually a director.
Wow, interesting. Huh. So that's something that's near and dear to you then?
Yes. I love doing community service.
Mm-hmm. So, and again, coming up through and growing up, you experienced probably, you saw a lot of those people in need and things like that?
Yeah. Yeah. And it just, you know, I always said that when, you know, I go to college and find work that I'm happy with, I would always give back. And I'm fortunate, you know, to have and be in an industry that I enjoy. So, you know, I try to motivate other young girls, you know, to get their education and to show them that, you know, you can be anything you want to be.
You're leading by example.
Yeah.
I think,
you know, I've been fortunate to have some really good people who always believed in me, even when others didn't. So I just said, well, you know, the way to pay them back, you know, for all that they have given me is to give back to other people.
You don't spend a lot of time sitting around, I don't think, do you?
No, I don't like to sit around. No, not at all. You know, I try to be involved in everything that I can.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I know that people, if they're hearing this today, they might like to talk to you or meet you. And I'm guessing you gladly welcome along.
Yeah, come on down to Pine Valley. You know, my door is always open. Come in, stop in, meet me, ask me some questions. I'd be glad to talk to you. And thank you for welcoming me to the community and to Pine Valley.
Great. It's been great to get to know you here on the morning show today. And
no, thank you for having me. I appreciate you.
You bet. And then you'll be doing some activities this weekend. I know you have activities and you have church services on the weekend at Pine Valley.
Yeah.
As well.
I'm doing a Valentine's Day craft with my residents. I should be there at 1:00. My plan is to be there from 1 to 4. So if you would like to come and meet me then, or just come and sit with your family member and participate in the project, I'd be more than glad to have you.
Yeah, well, good. It's really a pleasure to have you in the studio. Come back and see us.
Thank you.
You bet. That is Shaponda Jimerson, and you can meet her at Pine Valley Community Village. She's the new administrator, taking over for the retiring Tom Rislow. What's he doing in retirement? Have you heard?
I hope he's having a great time.
Whatever he's doing.
I asked him if he would go partying, and he just laughed.
All right. Thanks for joining us today on The Morning Show. We'll have more coming up tomorrow. We'll talk about Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination as they start the new year for Grace. This is Phil Nee, and I'm a self-proclaimed hamburger expert. Recently, I had one at Utter Brothers Creamery in Boscobel. Good stuff. Packed full of goodness, 100% ground beef, lettuce, all of the toppings I wanted. And right there, I can actually practice my milking skills at Utter Brothers and put the condiments on the burger that I would like. Utter Brothers Creamery and Restaurant, located at 1100 Elm Street, Boscobel, open from 11 until 8 every day. Their ice cream is good as well. It's wonderful stuff. Stop by Utter Brothers Creamery in Boscobel.
The Richland County Historical Society has prepared a 2024 calendar with vintage pictures of one-room schools. Schools of Richland County by Steve Fogel appeared in the Republican Observer during the years 1952-1953. These are pictures of rural schools when he printed the histories of each in the paper, and those histories are available in the Richland County History Room of the Brewer Library. There are 46 total schools and 4 schools per month, with additional graded schools in the Richland County area included in this collector calendar. Printed by Hennig Printing with a laminated cover and bound with those collector calendars, they're available from any board of directors of the Richland County Historical Society for just $6 as a donation from the general public. Historical Society members, you can obtain the 2024 calendar for just $4 as a donation. Get yours as soon as possible. Schools of Richland County, a 2024 calendar from the Richland County Historical Society. Look us up on the web, Richland County Historical Society.weebly.com.
Hello, this is Lori Berry from the Investment Center at Community First Bank. Does your retirement plan fit your vision? Your plan should be as unique as you are. Whatever you envision, make sure you have the right investment mix, risk tolerance, and time horizon to get you from point A to point B. Contact me today at 960-7757 to make sure your strategy aligns with your retirement dream. Experience the difference at the Investment Center at Community First Bank. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA/SIPC. Securities and insurance offered through LPL or its affiliates are not insured by FDIC or any other government agency, not bank guaranteed, not bank deposits or obligations may lose value.
Great news! Strang's at Richland Center is not closing. Instead, we're excited to announce that they will be under new ownership. They continue proudly to offer top quality products from trusted brands like Lennox, Goodman, A. O. Smith, NEC, and many more. At Strang's, quality is not just a promise, it's the hallmark. Whether you require heating, cooling, plumbing, electrical, or telecom services, one call to Strang's does it all. Strang's has always been about people helping people, and your satisfaction is their priority. Experience the legacy of Strang's under new ownership. The same reliability you've known for years, now with a fresh perspective. Strang's, where experience meets commitment, and they're here to serve you better than ever before. The newly remodeled Family Thrift Shop is open for business and accepting donations during store hours Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from 9 until 5 and Saturdays from 10 until 4. Come and shop locally where the profits from your donations and purchases stay in our community and help support other nonprofit organizations. We appreciate your support and look forward to seeing you at the Family Thrift Shop located at 120 South Main Street in downtown Richland Center.
7 minutes before the hour of 10 o'clock, Robin's Nest Country Gifts and Flowers will be closed for a time this morning. We'll let you know when that changes as people kind of get around and commute on a little icy day today in some areas and foggy. The fog's going to stick around a little bit longer. The advisory goes until noon for our area today. We're at 35 degrees. We cap off this portion of our get-together with some music. This is BJ Thomas.